All right, so I finished the series on the fruit of the Spirit, and I've just, you know, we had 2 weeks of guest speakers, which that's a whole nother story. I actually booked them on the same day, and that doesn't work. So we had to adjust it. That's why we had them 2 weeks back to back. But now this is kind of just a bit of a one-off week. And so I want to share a word with you that is, it's needed. It's powerful, it's for the nation, it's for the church. If we will apply this to our lives, I promise you, your spiritual life will increase with vitality and joy more than maybe you have ever experienced before. This is that important. Not doing it, and then is the flip side of that. But if we'll do this, if we'll take this to heart and pay attention to it, it'll be something that God uses, I believe, to change our lives, and one person, one circumstance at a time could heal our nation. And so strong stuff today. The title of the message, strangely enough, is Hearing Problems. Hearing Problems. And that'll make sense here in a little bit. I need to give you a bit of introduction first. And I don't want to scare anyone off who's visiting with us. This isn't going to be some crazy, wacky message, but it's important for me to lay some foundation here first. And so let me lay some foundation first by saying something that you might find a little bit, uh-oh, are we working? There we go. Number one, I believe in spiritual warfare. What does that mean? It means that I'm not so naturally minded that I don't recognize that there are things that happen in the world that are the result of the spirit world invading the natural world. The Bible couldn't be clearer that we fight against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, like the scripture goes on and on and on and on. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 talks all about the armor of God and our need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because we're in a battle. Now, the reason that I bring that up first is because this battle that we're in, I promise you, it affects your hearing, your spiritual hearing. And so I want to make a connection with this battle that we're in and how we hear things and what we hear, because it's really, really, really important. Secondly, I believe there are demonic forces that seek to persuade people in and out of the church to do the devil's will in order to damage, destroy, and divide people and nations. There are demon spirits that will try to whisper and persuade people to believe and act on things in order to bring damage, destruction, division, devastation, all of those D words that are just nasty. There is a demon and demons that love to do that kind of stuff. It's just the simple truth. Now, I don't have time to get into this, but if you want to do an interesting little check, just mark down 1 Kings 22:22. And it's this story of a spirit of presenting himself before God and saying, I will become a lying spirit in the mouth of the false prophets, and I will persuade them to do wickedness. It's interesting that there would be something called a lying spirit. How many of you think there might be a lying spirit alive and loose in the world today? Absolutely. But their purpose of these spirits, these demonic forces, is to wreak havoc and to cause problems. You cannot look with a clear conscience, any kind of biblical understanding, you cannot look at what happened in Las Vegas and go, oh, that's just a guy who's troubled. That is every bit as demonic as what Hitler did and every other mass murderer throughout human history. If you look at that and just think that's a guy who had a bad day or is merely the convert of ISIS or whatever the latest narrative is, you're missing it. There are dark forces that inspire and persuade people to do those types of things. Number three, I believe Christians can fall prey to these forces and actually help further a demonic agenda. Now, that ought to get your attention. because it's not right for us to sit back and say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I would never fall prey to any of this kind of persuasive influence or pressure on my life. I'm telling you, if that's your attitude, you're halfway there already. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, couldn't be clearer. Paul writes and says very, very, very clearly that the enemy of our soul takes people captive in order for them to do the devil's will. And so he says, we as followers of Jesus, as leaders in context, what it says, he said, we've got to be humble and gentle with these people to help them escape the snare of the wicked one. There's a battle going on, folks. We got to wake up. Number four, I believe Christians have power and victory over these demonic forces. We got to say an amen right there. That's important to recognize. So in other words, it's not like, oh my gosh, we can fall prey to this and we're defenseless. No, we can fall prey to this, but we've got the armor of God. We've got the victory of Jesus. We've got the authority and the promise of his power and his word and his blood working on our side so that we don't have to fall prey, so that we don't have to be a pawn of the enemy to further his demonic agenda. Number five, I believe what we hear. Would y'all say what? That was a good accent on that. And how we hear. Would you say how? I believe what we hear and how we hear, that it plays a part in whether we have victory over or succumb to demonic influence. Now think about this. What we hear and how we hear things is going to play a significant part whether or not we're gonna have victory over or succumb to this demonic influence that's out in the world seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, our two passages of scripture there, Mark 4:23 through 25 and Luke 8:16 through 18, we're gonna get to those in just a minute. But this morning, I want to unpack for us, so now we're progressing for you note takers. We're gonna talk about what we hear, what we hear. We're gonna talk about how we hear it. We're gonna talk about having an undiscerning ear, an undiscerning ear. I wanna talk to you about having an itching ear, an itching ear. And then lastly, I wanna talk to you about having an accusatory ear. This is an interesting one. Again, this is all about how we hear and what we hear that influences how we live our lives, okay? So let's start off with what we hear. What we hear. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 25, Jesus is telling this little parable about a lamp. So Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Well, of course a lamp is for a lampstand, okay? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now I wanna pause there real quick and tell you, I've done the work for you. There are six different occasions in the New Testament where Jesus says this, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Six different times in the Gospels, I should say, not the New Testament, in the Gospels. Six different times where Jesus is saying, hey, your hearing is important and how you hear. And if you say you have an ear to hear, then listen. Seven times in the book of Revelation, when Jesus addresses all seven churches in chapter 2 and 3, all seven churches, Jesus ends what he's saying to the church with something that's almost identical to that. It's a little different. He says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. My point is, there's 13 different occasions in the entire New Testament where Jesus is saying to his people, listen, what you hear and how you hear is important. If you say you've got an ear to hear what God is saying, make sure you're really hearing what God is saying. And Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Because with the same measure you use, it's gonna be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more is gonna be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, let's start off by talking about what you hear. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. What you hear is about one word, content. What you hear is about content, okay? Jesus said, you need to take heed to the content of the things that you listen to. By him giving that warning, friends, by him telling us, take heed, be warned, pay attention, he's telling us something without coming out right and saying it. He's saying this, listen, there are things that you can pay attention to and listen to that aren't gonna be good for you. So you really have to take heed and pay attention, be warned about what you're allowing in. So take heed, pay attention to it. Then he said, the reason you need to pay attention to it is because the same measure that you use to hear, that's what God is going to measure back to you. So as a follower of Jesus, I want to live my life by saying something like this. Lord, my ears are yours. My spiritual hearing, God, I want to be tuned and turned toward you. I want to hear what you have to say, God. I'm going to give myself to that which is true and good and noble and praiseworthy and holy and awesome and eternal and heavenly. God, I'm consecrating my hearing to you. He says, if you'll do that, if you'll measure your hearing like that, he said, I'm gonna measure back to you that same way. So we consecrate our hearing to God, and God said, there's someone I can talk to. Now the flip side's true, and he tells us that. If we're going about our spiritual lives going, I'll listen to anything, any kind of trash, any kind of gossip, any kind of slander, any kind of accusation, I'll just listen to any ungodly, murderous, foul, lustful, pornograph, I mean, fill in the blank of every foul and sick thing. If that's what we give our spiritual ears to, Dave, guess what? It's gonna be measured back to us that way. And Jesus is gonna look at us and say, hey, you're not giving me anything to work with. Your ears are so damaged. Your hearing is so clogged with the garbage of this world, I can't even talk to you. It's not that I can't talk to you, it's that you won't hear what I'm saying. So Jesus says, take heed what you hear. Because the same measure that you use, it's going to be measured right back to you. So hear good and holy things, and you'll get more good and holy things. Hear evil and unholy things, you're gonna lose even the little bit of ability you have to hear God. It's gonna go. It's serious stuff. No wonder he said, take heed, be warned. Now, I'm gonna transition now into our first type of ear that we talked about. And it is the undiscerning ear, the undiscerning ear. This is the type of ear that hungers, listen to me, that hungers for any new spiritual sounding thing. I wanna tell you up front, we're gonna make application between the church and the world, because the unbelieving world falls prey to demonic influence as well as the church. We just are operating really in two different realms. The undiscerning ear is that ear that just hungers to hear something new. Just tell me something new. And we see this in the scripture. I mean, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul's warning, the Holy Spirit says explicitly in the last days that some are gonna depart from the faith. Why? Because they give heed to, they listen to, they pay attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But I wanna show you another place where we see this. It's very interesting. In the book of Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is going through, he's ministering there in Greece, he's on Mars Hill, the Greeks and the Epicureans and the Athenians are all there, and Paul is there preaching Jesus to all of these pagan philosophers. We get to Acts 17, verses 18 through 21, and pick the story up. It says, then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered Paul, and some said, What does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak, for you're bringing some strange things to our ears. Get ready. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. This is the undiscerning ear. This is the ear that just wants to hear something new. Content doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's just got to be shiny. It's just got to be new. It's got to be hot and piping and fresh out of the oven. That's all we care about. We just want to spend our time hearing something new. Now, there's application of two sides of this for the church and the nation. I'll get into it later. But let me just say, first of all, to the church, okay? It's dangerous to live for the next new thing that blows in the church. I gotta be careful how I say this because I don't wanna be misunderstood, but listen, we might say we're talking about like just the hyper-charismatic movement, okay? It just seems to be consumed with the newest word, the newest prophecy, the newest revelation, what the new prophet is saying, what's the new thing that God's doing. It's all of this new stuff, and the more I listen to some of their new stuff, I go, I wish you would learn the old stuff because your new stuff isn't matching up with the old stuff. But it doesn't matter, right? Because it's new. And here's the now word from God. Here's what God's doing. And listen, God's doing all of this right here. This is what God is doing. Now, to bring some balance to it, I love fresh revelation, fresh insight. I love words of prophecy. I love inspiring words. I love dreams and visions. I love all of that and want to see more of that in my life, but I'm not living my life for those things. I'm living my life based on this, and then when God does something extra special every once in a while, it's extra special. Yeah. Then it's good and it's right. I'm not living my life in some neurotic spiritual, you know, paranoia because I didn't get a fresh word from God during prayer this morning. You know what you end up doing? Making one up. Now, so long as it's, you know, God loves me or whatever, that's fine. But you just gotta make sure that you don't have an undiscerning ear that just wants to hear something new and flashy. The church, we're such suckers for stuff that rhymes. Just so long as it rhymes. Oh, God, come on. It's a rhyme. So it's important to pay attention to what we hear. It's important to pay attention to discern what is being communicated. Make sure it lines up with the word. Build your life on the word, and then let God take that word and personalize it and make it real for you, because he will. Now, it's the undiscerning ear. Let me talk to you about how we hear, okay? Not what we hear, how we hear. We looked at this parable in Mark chapter 4, but now in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is telling the same parable, but there's one word that changes, and it changes everything. In Mark chapter 4, he was talking about take heed to what you hear, and now in Luke chapter 8, different Greek word altogether, Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus said, therefore, take heed how you hear. Not just what you hear, but how you hear. Friends, how you hear has to do with motive and intent. How do you hear things? What motivates? What intentions do you have when you hear things? What filters do you have up that what you hear has to pass through before it rings in your ear? Jesus is saying, take heed how you hear. Pay attention to how you hear things. And then he gets into that same thing again. Whoever has, more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. How you hear. It's about motive and intent. Why the warning again? Because how we hear things can be wrong. It can be based on previous woundings or biases or personal desires. There's a whole different, all kinds of reasons why. We need to pay attention how we hear things. If everything you hear is a personal attack, if everything you hear is offensive, if everything you hear is that person's wrong, kind of the common denominator in all that is you. Pay attention to what you hear and pay attention to how you hear things. Jonathan and I laugh about this. I'll just share this for a second. So it would be like me saying to Jonathan, Jonathan, today was just ridiculously awesome. The worship time was off the charts. And he goes, oh, so last week was horrible? Yeah. We joke about this. We've joked about this for years. Steve, God, that message today just really hit home for me. Oh, what, last week's wasn't any good? It's how you hear things, right? Some people, they don't pay attention to how they hear things or what they hear. So they hear all kinds of stuff and their motives and their intentions are wrong about how they hear things, okay? So Jesus says, take heed. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's an example that shows us what we shouldn't be listening to and how people get in trouble. And it introduces us to our second type of ear, which is the itching ear, the itching ear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Means be ready all the time. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Paul says, because the time's gonna come when they, church people, when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. Look at this. But according to their own desires, their own lusts, their own things that they want, because they have itching ears, then they're gonna heap up for themselves teachers. And they're gonna turn their ears. It's a conscious thing they do. They're gonna turn their ears away from the truth and then be turned aside to fables. So what is it that this group of people is listening to? What they're not listening to is sound doctrine. They've turned their ears away from truth. They've given themselves over to lies and fables and stories that are without profit. But how does this go down? It's a point I want to look at. The itching ear, beloved, is tuned directly into those places or place in our heart that is ruled by self-want, self-gratification, self-need, self-desire, own desires. The itching ear hears things through the filter of, is this what I want? Not what I need, what I want. And if it doesn't make it through the filter of something that this is good for me because it's God, even though it cuts against my grain and convicts me a little bit, people who have an itching ear will only hear what they want to hear because it's rooted, fueled, and tuned into their own desires. So it doesn't matter, Tony, what God's desire is for them. They only want what their desires are. And see, we get into the mistake here, our friends, and you know what, we might broad brushstroke the word of faith movement. Because if I just, you know, claim it and confess it and, you know, just tell God what to do, then God's got to do it if I have enough faith. And we get our roles reversed. Then we become God sitting on the throne of our own desires and make God our butler. Turn to your neighbor and say, he ain't your butler. He's just not. He's just not. God is God. We're not God. I can't claim and confess and own desire my way into getting every single thing that I want. But the itching ear is tuned into only my own selfishness. Gets us in all kinds of trouble. And so then what do? We heap up teachers for ourselves because we want to find as many people as possible to reinforce and support my own selfish desires. And so we want to hear that, you know, I don't need to follow Jesus. I don't need to repent of my sins. I don't need to live a holy life and still go to heaven. I want to hear that everybody goes to heaven. I want to hear that you can live a sinful life. And I want to hear that love will win. And I want to hear all that. So now let's just find a bunch of teachers who will tell us that. I tell you, there will always be a teacher to tell you what you want to hear. Just pay him enough. Just pay him enough. There's enough charlatans out there. Just pay him enough. They'll tell you what you want to hear. It's this issue of the itching ear, okay? This happens, friends, spiritually, as we've kind of discussed. If we're going to talk about the nation for a minute, it happens nationally. It happens like this. It's us already knowing what we want by our own desires and our own selfishness. It's us rejecting anything from anybody else that might have something good to say. Now, let me tell you how this works in politics. I don't remember which group I went after first last service, but I just want to be an equal opportunity offender here this morning. But friends, let me just say to this. Get ready. It's going to challenge some of you. There are Democrats with some really, really good ideas. Really good ideas. Here's the problem. If the Republicans admit that, they're going to get attacked. They're going to get attacked for being a compromiser, a rhino, Republican in name only. You know, they're going to get attacked. Because it wasn't their idea, their desire, their thing. And so if I tried to give credit or work with something that actually like might help the nation, I'll get attacked by my own people. Democrats, do you know there's some Republicans, there really are, that have some good ideas? There really are. But we're so afraid to say, you know what? That's a good idea. I wish I would have thought of that. But I'm gonna support you. We need to make that happen for the good of the country. We have itching ears that are based on our own desires and our own things, and we're not going to let anybody do or say or claim or get something that's one up on me. This has so many different expressions. It's not just about, you know, us demanding God to do certain things. It affects when we have this selfish, itching ear. It affects how we relate with one another and what we're afraid of doing with one another for the benefit of all. It gets entangled in so many bizarre, weird ways. And it's killing our country. It's killing our country. Listen, I'm beyond alt-right. I'm upright. So I'm as conservative as they come. But I gotta tell you, I'm not afraid to say, hey, that was a great independent or democratic idea. Let's get that going. That'll help the rest of the country. I'm telling you, as soon as you do that, people are gonna come after you with all kinds of stuff. It's sad. How we hear things needs to change. What happened to hearing for truth's sake rather than just our own desires? Needs to change our nation. Let me talk to you next about accusatory ears. Accusatory ears. These are ears that listen for mistakes in order to pounce on, label, and accuse others. We could call these Pharisee ears. They specialized in this. They created this. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers. He's letting them have it. We get to the end of the discussion in Luke chapter 11, verse 53 and 54, and it says this, and as Jesus said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees, look at this, they began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. Don't you know this was a friendly lot? I mean, just look at these words. Just look at this. They want to assail him, or they did assail him vehemently. Just an attack mode. They're cross-examining. You can't cross-examine God. They're lying in wait, just waiting for some slip-up, seeking to catch him so that they could accuse him of something. This is an accusatory ear. This is the ear that listens for error rather than truth. This is the ear that wants to find the word or the phrase or the scripture that I misquoted so you can send me a mean email. Now, I probably won't get any today. Maybe I will. I'm sure something else I said offended you. Probably the Democrat-Republican thing, but. So we've kind of messed with a little bit this morning, the hyper-charismatic crowd. We've kind of messed with a little bit kind of the what was our number two one? Huh? The Word of Faith crowd, yeah. I need to claim a better memory. Now we might as well mess with the apologetics crowd a little bit. I cut my teeth on apologetics. When I came to Christ, I was mentored and discipled by Dr. Joseph Goodell, was the librarian at the Simon Greenleaf School of Law. He was an assistant to the late, great Dr. Walter Martin. I got born again and was raised on knowing what I believe and why I believed it. I listened to Dr. Martin every single day for hours driving a parts truck in Southern California, driving all over Los Angeles for Penske Cadillac. I listened to Dr. Walter Martin's radio show, The Bible Answer Man, every day for at least 2 hours a day. I knew how he would answer his questions. I still remember him to this day. I have nothing against apologetics. I'm all for apologetics. But friends, let me tell you this. When your apologetics get you to the place where you have accusatory ears, you have crossed the line. Dr. Martin, as much as he would call people out for being in sketchy spiritual territory, never condescended, never beat people up, never disrespected people, was always gracious and kind, always. And it seems like we've forgotten that. And so now we have apologetics people with accusatory ears, self-appointed heresy hunters, doctrinal purists who have got God all figured out. They really do. They've got God all figured out. And God forbid that you would disagree with them on anything. You'll end up on their blog or on their webpage or on their Instagram or on their Facebook or on their something because you disagree with them. It's modern-day Phariseeism. If you listen to pounce, punch, and prosecute, if you listen to catch and accuse, you have accusatory ears. Now, while we're on the subject of accusation, I want to talk a little bit more about this on a personal level. I'm not looking for anybody's pity. I'm just dealing with truth. While we're dealing with this subject of accusation and hearing things, I would venture to say none of you have this next verse highlighted in your Bibles. You don't have it in two or three colors for sure. Doesn't look like John 3:16. You've got that highlighted really well. I want to draw your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. The Apostle Paul is dealing with how we listen to accusations as church members. He writes and says, don't receive an accusation against an elder, a spiritual leader, unless there's two or three eyewitnesses. He's just picking up on the Old Testament idea that we are not to listen to accusations against spiritual leaders unless there's two or three people that were eyewitnesses to exactly what happened, so it can be firmly established without any dispute. Don't receive an accusation. It means don't hear, listen to, pay attention to in any way, shape, or form. Don't listen to anything against an elder unless there's these witnesses. I've been a pastor for 28 years. I've pastored thousands of people, as you are well aware. And what I've found out through the years is that there are some church people who like to accuse. And then there's other church people who like to listen to the accusations because they have an itching ear. And they want to hear something that vibrates within them, their own desire to be right or to have some inside scoop or to verify that all pastors are evil or whatever because of some past brokenness or whatever that they had. So there's people that like to make accusation. There's other people that like to listen to accusations of spiritual leaders, and the devil loves it because ultimately it ends up dividing people and hurting people. I understand that it comes with my calling. I still hate it when it happens. I've never gotten used to it. I've had more than some and less than others, but I don't like any of it. Things have changed over the last 10 years or so with the emergence of social media. And so now all of a sudden you can find yourself on all different forms of social media, blogs and websites and tweets and videos, text messages, conversations. I just ran just a few things down here that I've, over the last probably 7 years, I've been repeatedly online listed as a pedophile, a murderer, a thief, a false teacher, a necromancer, which means I promote talking to the dead. For the last 7 years, I have been the regular recipient of death threats that got so disgustingly sexual in their attacks and how I was going to be killed that our local sheriff looked at me and said, Steve, don't mess with this guy. Pay attention. The courts have been involved. The FBI has been involved. It comes with the turf. I get it. You know, you have thousands of people listen to you. You get some wackos out there, and they're out there. Amen, Rick, they're out there. The concerning thing for me isn't just the people who say these things, but the people who actually listen to it. It's mind-boggling to me. It's sadder that people listen to it to me. No witnesses, no nothing. It's just something new. It's just something, again, that resonates or vibrates in their own brokenness. And then they hear it, and then they go on and tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. And it's like I just go, do you not realize how demonic it is what you're doing? Do you think you get a pass from God by doing that? What in the world? Like, what in the world? What gives you the right to talk behind pastors' backs? What gives you the right to post things on Facebook and Instagram and do all of this madness? What gives you the right to do that? What gives you the right to listen to it, y'all? I wonder if the days are just gone where we would say to someone like that, you're not gonna talk about my friend that way to me. Shut your mouth. You're not gonna talk about my pastors that way. Shut up. You're a liar. I don't even know if we have that kind of loyalty anymore. No, I don't know that we do. I'm just saying nationally, I'm just telling you, we're just visiting now. Let me just sit down for a second, okay? I don't know if you'll appreciate this, but I'm gonna feel great in about 5 minutes. It's this kind of stuff why 80% of our seminary graduates don't last 5 years in the ministry. It's why in the United States of America, we lose 1,500 pastors every single month. Because guys just go, I'm tired of it. Tired of it. I'm tired of devil's lying. I'm tired of devil's listening. I'm tired of it. Y'all go do whatever it is you do. Go ahead and bite and devour and tear one another up. Have at it. I'm out. I'm going to sell insurance. Might be prophetic. What I'm saying is this stuff, I'm no stranger to it. Again, I've had more than some and less than others, but it's just like, what in the world? You know, one of the things that I found about accusers, this is interesting. Accusers many times are the most guilty. Who's the accuser of the brethren? The devil. Nobody more guilty than him. A lot of times I look and I wonder, what was the first sin committed in the garden? And my ideas have changed over the years, but let me just say, one of the first sins committed in the Bible was the devil accusing God in his spiritual authority over Adam and Eve. He accused God of not being good and not having Adam and Eve's best interest in mind. There wasn't two or three witnesses, it was just the devil. And Adam and Eve listened in the garden. And we've been listening ever since. I'm really gonna get in trouble and misunderstood now. You ready for this one? You know what happened to Joel Osteen a few weeks back when the hurricane hit? Now some of you already, probably not you, but people online for sure. There's people already went, he's gonna defend Joel Osteen. What does he believe like Joel Osteen? What is he, is he a fan of Joel Osteen? What, doesn't he know this and this and this and this and this about Joel Osteen? And people have already gone there in their minds. Joel Osteen was wrongfully crucified. You know how many Christians jumped in on that? I don't know their head from a hole in the ground. There's just enough people tweeting about it. So let me jump on. Let me accuse. Let me talk about stuff I know nothing about and have no facts about and aren't even discerning enough to realize and to look at the person who first brought the accusation and think, you know, this is probably a God-hater. But I have the accusatory ear. I want to hear something. I want to be able to accuse. I want to be able to pile on and jump on. It's pitiful. It's really, really, really pitiful. And so people who accuse the most, it's mind-boggling to you, they're the most guilty. Not right, Mickey. It's not right to say it. It's not right to hear it, to listen to it. You know how we could really get somewhere in the church? Number one, if we just didn't listen to people at all when they do this nonsense. Just tell them, I'm not listening to you, period. I'm gonna do 1 Timothy 5:19. If you feel like you can't do that, try this one. When someone starts talking trash about a friend, a pastor, a leader, an elder, whoever, I don't care who it is at this point, just stop them real quick and say, hey, I sense you're getting ready to tell me something really juicy. But I gotta tell you something. As soon as you get done, I'm gonna call the accused, tell them what you just told me, and see what their side of the story is. I'm telling you, 99% of the crap that's out there would be shut down that fast. It stopped like that. Yeah. 1 Timothy 5:19 says not to receive an accusation. 1 Timothy 5:20, another verse you don't have underlined, I'm sure, says this. Rebuke those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all so that the rest may fear. Anybody been to one of those church services lately? See what he's saying? Don't listen to an accusation. Don't listen to an accusation. And people that are either listening or accusing, here's what you do. You call them out in front of everybody. Hey, so-and-so, yes, stand up. Don't stand up. Yeah, you know, halfway back, you in the back. Yeah, could you stand up? Yeah, so I've been warning you about all these lies you've been telling people. I've asked you to stop. I've asked you to repent. I give you time to repent. And I'm just calling you out in front of the entire church right now. I'm telling you in front of everybody, you're a liar, you're a deceiver, and you're a divider. I want to have one of those. Yeah, at what point does the church really grow up enough to start doing Titus 3:10, I think it is? Is that our next one? Yeah. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. These are the pastoral epistles. Paul's writing to pastors saying this is how you deal with these type of people. People who are divisive and causing problems and doing all that kind of stuff. After you warn them twice, blow them off. That's it. Because they are warped, it means perverted. They're sinning and they're self-condemned. They've brought it on themselves. So when you rebuke them in front of everybody and you reject them in front of everybody, they've brought it on themselves. When's the last time we had a church service like that? Maybe someday soon we'll have one. No, I'm telling you, seriously. I'm telling you, seriously. Because there comes a time when the church elders and the board needs to say, yeah, we're not letting that happen anymore. Because we've got accusers and we've got people who listen to accusers, and then the sheep, God bless them, they just, you know, like Proverbs, whoever gets to the person first seems to be telling the truth until they get cross-examined. So people listen to accusations, they get pick up an offense over something that's not even real, and they want to leave the church or whatever, and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to let that happen too much more. I've been at this too long. We might grow up. We might stop doing all the craziness. Well, since this is such a happy sermon today, let's just try to end with a little bit of direction for us, for the church and for the nation both. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this: "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." You've been called to freedom. Now, if we apply that nationally, what are we here in America? If we know we're anything, we're free. We're free. We're a people of liberty. Look what he says. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. We're free to say what we want. First Amendment, we're free to say what we want. You know, except a couple things you can't say. But generally speaking, we're free to say what we want. Paul says, yeah, you're free to say what you want. But don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh to slander, accuse, and crucify, and gossip about people. Matthew chapter 12, you can read verses 34 through 37, but it gets to the point in verses 37 where Jesus says that we're gonna give an account for every idle word that we speak, and by our words we'll either be condemned or justified. So the next time you think you've got liberty and freedom to say whatever you want about anybody you want, just remember this, it echoes in heaven until judgment day. So you start slandering, accusing, labeling people you've never met, have never sat down with them, you don't know their hearts, you heard a 30-second or a 30-minute snippet or sermon, and you figured it all out. And you're gonna blog and write, and I fear for you. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Y'all are being so good. Been called to liberty. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That would be good. All the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's kind of the golden rule thing, like do unto others. Do you want people falsely accusing you? Do you want people slandering you? Do you want people putting you on Facebook and Instagram and tweeting all kinds of nonsense about you? Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that to other people. Now here's what he says. But if you bite and devour one another, it is the Greek language, it is the vicious attacking of a rabid dog. If you bite and devour one another, he says, beware, because what's gonna happen is we're gonna consume each other. When we live like that, we're gonna consume each other. And that's what's happening in our country, and that's what's happening in the church. And I would say that it has a lot to do with what we hear and how we hear it. We hear trash, we welcome it in. It resonates with our brokenness, our own desires, and we love to accuse, and so there you go. Strike one, strike two, strike three. Hatred, division, anger, every foul thing under the sun. We have our work cut out for us, friends. We need to start hearing right. We need to start speaking right. And we need to start seeing our church and our nation healed one relationship at a time. God have mercy on our ears. God have mercy on our mouth. God have mercy on the United States of America. God have mercy. I hope this message has changed your life forever, regardless of where you end up in church, regardless of who your spiritual leaders are, regardless of whatever in the future. Take heed to what you hear and take heed to how you hear it, because it matters. In Jesus' name, and God's people said,
amen.
God bless you guys.